you know and are familiar enough with the Toronto market that Leafs fans are psychologically scarred. There's a lot of nerves ahead of this afternoon's game. What were your main takeaways from game one, Leafs Jackets, and how optimistic are you that the Leafs are going to get a bounce back in terms of final score this afternoon?
Well, I don't know if I'm willing to go out on a limb and say they're going to definitely win the game, but I certainly think chances are good. I think Freddie played really well in game one. Freddie Anderson, that is. Now Van Vliet, he played good too, but Anderson was solid. And I think Freddie Anderson's the key to this team because I think the way they play and the run and gun style, and they do give up a lot of chances against. You know, Columbus still had 35 shots on that. Freddie has to be good if they're going to stay in this. He was very, very sharp, minus the one goal. I thought Austin Matthews got going as the game went on, too. I think the Jones matchup is maybe something that Keith is really going to have to work hard to get Matthews away. Give him a fighting chance, right? Get Jones, who's a premier, you know, shutdown defenseman, get him out away from Matthews. Give Matthews some space. He got more dangerous. I think Marner's going to have a lot better game. Tavares, I think, is looking at himself like, I have to have a better game as well. So I'm encouraged that the Leafs are going to get a couple goals. The power play is hopefully going to get one or two and get them going, and everything will just kind of snowball from there.
If I'm one of the big four, the Nylander, Marner, Tavares, or Matthews, and I got to go against Jones and Werenski the whole game, yeah, they play 25 and 26 minutes, but when you're one of the big four not on against them, are they not just like, hey, guys, I don't have to play against the. I'm playing against these two guys. When you're out against the other four, you better be able to generate something because these two guys are causing us a lot of problems. You think that kind of goes on in the room? Because I remember that going on a lot when I played, and you had your top guys going against the top 2D man, where it's like, all right, whoever else is going out against the other four, you better be doing something out there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think you have two guys that are by far their best defensemen. And I think, Ziggy, don't sell yourself short. You were in the top four at some point, and I'm sure you were playing against those tough matchups. It might have been back in junior hockey. And
minor peewee.
But there was a time. But certainly, like, all the pressure can't be on Matthews and Marner and Tavares. And the guys who are going against those other four, they have to generate some offense. The Leafs are a lineup that they're top to bottom, and forward at least. They're fast and they're skilled. This is not a defensive team. And Kyle Dubas assembled a high-octane offense. So, you know, the guys that are getting the favorable matchups have to start producing as well. Even though they don't get as much attention from us and from the media, those guys have to start producing a little bit more and take some pressure off the big boys.
Kevin Bieksa is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm going to do the responsible thing here, Kevin, and not ask you a leading question. So it's going to be a blanket question, and you can take it where you want. What is your assessment? And I'm not just talking about game one against Columbus, but what is your assessment of the Leafs' top six defensemen as a whole, as a group, over a broader sample size, factor in the regular season, etc.?
Yeah, that's a tough question. And I know where you want to lead me. I think at times it's a good skating. It's got a little bit of everything. I really like Muzzin. I've liked Muzzin for years. I played against him and when he was in LA, and I was in Anaheim and Vancouver. A lot of matchups against Muzzin. Really like his game. Really think his game translates well to the playoffs. Big fan of Morgan Riley. Played with him as well. He's, you know, as the games get going here, they'll all get better. I think there's a little bit of rust right off the bat. I think they'll all get better as we get going. But if you're looking at the makeup of the team, this is the part of the team, of the Toronto Maple Leafs, that has to hold their own. The offense is going to start scoring goals. I'm not worried about that. Freddie's proven that he's sharp and he's ready to go. The defense has to pick it up. And that's not just the defensemen. It's the forwards when they're in their zone as well. If you look at their defensive zone, that's obviously where they struggle as a group. So the defense have to pull their own if they're going to win the series.
Everyone's talking about the maturity level of the Leafs and what they need to go through. And when they got matched up with Columbus, it was oh gosh, we're playing against a tight-checking team that doesn't give up a lot of goals. Tortorella, known for, you know, making sure gets the most out of his guys. Can you remember to any kind of teams you played on where there was that kind of growing pains that Toronto's going through right now, and they need to like beat these the Columbuses, where it's like, all right, this is the next step we need to take. We have to go through a team like this to get to where we want to be.
Yeah, earlier in my career, we had the Chicago Blackhawks when they were just starting off their little dynasty. We played them 2 years in a row in the second round, and we just couldn't get past them. That was just our Achilles heel. That was the one team we just couldn't beat. It was a matchup. The matchup was a decent matchup for us, but they were just better than us. And then the third year, we played them 3 years in a row in the playoffs. The third year, we finally beat them and ultimately almost went on to win the Stanley Cup final. So this is kind of the team that I think everybody said this at the beginning. You just mentioned it. This is a bad matchup for the Leafs, right? The Leafs want room. They want space. They want to trade chances. And if a team's going to do that with them, they're probably going to get the better of them because they're highly skilled. They have a lot of depth. But this tight-checking, stifling team is, and you know, Ziggy, it's frustrating to play against. When you're an offensive guy and you want the puck and you want to make plays, and there's no room, and you're just getting hit and chipped all over the ice, and it's tight checking, and then, you know, you get the puck in the zone, and all five guys are just collapsing in the house, and you can't get any shots on net because they're blocking everything, you're super frustrated. This is where you go back and you break your stick on the bench and kick the boards because you're so frustrated. So this is going to be a tough challenge for them.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Scott.
No, jump in, Ziggy. Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, I think it is frustrating, but the positive I took out of it, and I talked about it a lot yesterday, was that they still stayed patient. They didn't really unravel. I didn't think the Leafs unraveled at all. And that was my biggest concern, knowing that if Columbus is going to do what I think they're going to do, if the Leafs unravel, they're not going to have a chance.
Yeah, in game one, you certainly didn't want to see that. I really think the way this is going to happen and this is going to play out is the Leafs are going to have a good start, hopefully, today, and then they're going to get a power play. And I think the power play is the key to their offense. That's going to get them going. They have a great power play. Wouldn't mind seeing, you know, maybe Morgan Rielly back there on that first unit, but nonetheless, their power play is lethal. And I'm hoping that's going to kind of get them going. And then once the power play gets one, you know what it's like. Everyone starts to feel good about themselves, a little more confidence. Next thing you know, they get a 5-on-5 goal, and things kind of open up for them.
Kevin Bieksa, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What was it like going up against Connor McDavid?
Well, it was frightening, you know, in a different way than I was used to. You know, prior to that, you're always kind of more worried about the big power forward guys, and then he comes in the league with this speed that just nobody else has. And there was guys before him, like, you know, Patrick Kane and Marion Gabrick and Mike McDaniel, and those were guys that were that could just absolutely fly, but you never really saw them open it up and get the speed and generate the speed in the neutral zone that McDavid did. And he got that goal last night, and as a defenseman, all defensemen are watching that, and they're like, oh God. Like, he's made so many good skating defensemen, great skating defensemen look silly. And I know there's some defensemen in the league that are considered great skaters, and they're scared to play against him because he can embarrass you. So good for him to kind of take that team on the back, on his back, and get the win last night. That they certainly needed that because I didn't think game one was very good for them.
Yeah, and taking the team on the back is kind of something we talk about here as well. And I feel like Edmonton, I feel like the Oilers kind of, they get asked a lot of the same things that this Leafs roster does, right? It's like, can McDavid and Draisaitl actually win with this group? And, you know, can the big four, can the Matthews, Tavares, you know, Marner, can they win with this group? And I talked a little bit last hour on how your leadership, your top guys have to drag everyone else into the fight. Can McDavid and Draisaitl do that with the Oilers, or is just the makeup of the team not there, or is the maturity or is the growth development of that Oilers team just not there yet?
Yeah, you know what? I think they can. I think they're too normally I don't think two players could carry a team like this, but I think those two players are pretty special. They're generational type players. McDavid is as determined as anybody, and maybe because he's got like kind of still the baby face and he's smiling a lot, I don't think people really understand how competitive this guy is. And everyone sees how competitive Tavares is on a day-to-day basis, and Crosby, how competitive he is. But McDavid is right up there with those guys. And I kind of made mention in the All-Star game when he lost the fastest skater competition to Barzal last year, he was visibly pissed off on the bench. And this is like a competition where you kind of go out and you're not even really warmed up and nobody wants to do it. And you kind of do it haphazard. But he went out there and he did it pretty hard. And then Barzal went absolutely as hard as he could and won it. And McDavid's sitting there on the bench stewing. And that just shows, for no reason other than he's just super, super competitive. So you saw it last night, how he just kind of willed his team and carried them. And Draisaitl is another guy who's a very, very special player, complements him really well. They do have some skill and some players that can contribute on forward. And, you know, it's very similar to the Leafs. So, where the defense is going to kind of have to hold their own and keep the other team under four goals, I'm hoping. And the goaltending in Edmonton also has to kind of solidify itself a bit.
Yeah, and the goaltending situation in Edmonton has been a conversation for years, going back to Cam Talbot, and now Mike Smith struggling in Game 1. Kevin Bieksa is with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's your, now that we've seen a little bit of this, Kevin, and the competitive games, not just the exhibition games of early last week, what's your impression of the setup, the vibe? I know you haven't been out there on the ice, so you can't necessarily put yourself directly into a player's skates, given that there are no crowd there and no crowd noise, etc. What's your impression, though, of the hockey, of the vibe, the environment, watching on TV?
I was, right off the bat, I was pretty impressed with how physical it was. And that started with the Carolina Rangers game, the very first game that we had, and how physical the hits and how nasty it was. And to me, that's playoff hockey. That's what separates, you know, playoff hockey from the regular season, is that nastiness. And I thought maybe with the long pause and with, you know, COVID and everything and all the civil unrest in the world, I thought that everybody would kind of come into this like buddy-buddy and it would be a little bit softer game. But well, it hasn't. It's been nasty. It's been really, really fun to watch. I understand the bubble has been fine for the players. You know, I'm sure it's going to wear on them after a while, but I heard the ice in Edmonton is really bad, though. That's one thing I have heard from players, and that's what you would think, right, when you have 2-3 games a day in the one arena in the middle of the summer. So that's something to watch as we move forward, right? Like the Stanley Cup Finals is usually played in June, and when I played in it, the ice was absolutely terrible. You know, we're in the middle of August right now, or the beginning of August, where it's very hot. And I don't know what the temperature is in Edmonton right now, but it's hot here in Toronto. And the ice is going to be something that's going to be really difficult to hold up. So keep an eye on that for, you know, in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and it's not as if they can recover in between games. Even as fewer games are played because teams get eliminated, it's not like there's too much you can do. And it is,
no,
yeah.
Sometimes you're just at the mercy of your environment. Like you look at Dallas. Dallas has always historically had terrible ice because there's just nothing you can do. They work as hard as they can. They just don't have the conditions for good ice. And middle of the summer is making it challenging for them in Edmonton and Toronto.